Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're back. Continue coverage here with E3 2018. And every year we always bring Michael Pachter on our podcast. You know, so
welcome. You're the only one who knows who I am. Thank you.
So how's everything, man? Your voice is much better than last year's.
Yeah, you know, I just talk too loud and too much. And So I think if I ever got 9 hours sleep, my voice would be fine.
Yeah, so let's talk about E3, man. So the press conferences, let's go with Microsoft. I think, and personally, in my opinion, maybe you have a different opinion about this, but I think that was their best conference in years. They really focus on talking about the roadmap and first-party games. They showed third-party games, too. Your thoughts about their press conference?
Yeah, I think, it's funny. They've been doing it for they've been doing it for 18 years. So it's about time they got it right. And, I met with Sony yesterday, and they wanted a critique of their press conference, and I pretty much said, you know, Microsoft nailed it, and there actually is a formula for doing it right. And I think while fanboys geek out when you have new hardware, so of course if you're launching like the Xbox One in 2013, of course you're all about that. But short of that, it's like, don't talk about your hardware. Who cares? You know, so even the Xbox One X, like, who cares? I mean, I know it's higher. So this is the first press conference I can remember in a long time where they didn't talk about hardware at all. It's like I didn't see a picture of an Xbox. I mean, I don't remember them even putting a video of an Xbox up. And so that's one. Number two, the knock on Microsoft for the last 7-8 years has been lack of first party. And, you know, I think part of it is because we're dickheads and we're like, you know, because we all just like, oh, yeah, Halo, big fucking deal. You know, oh, yeah, you know, Gears of War. You know, and it's like they have three big properties with Forza being the third. And then they have a bunch of smaller stuff and they don't try that hard and everybody disses them. And so I think they finally just said enough. Mm-hmm. You know, we actually are going to do something. Now, I don't expect to see a game from the initiative, you know, this decade. I mean, as far as I know, Daryl Gallagher hasn't hired employee number one. So there's no, well, I mean, it's a new studio in Santa Monica. So, I think that that's going to take a while. But, and I'm not a big fan of State of Decay, you know, and I don't know they got that much it's Playground who does Forza, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they got that much because they already had turn 10, so it's like, whatever. But it shows that they care. And I think the smartest thing they can do is put a developer up there who is passionate about his game. Like, Dying Light is so not my style of game. And if you just showed me a trailer, I think I would have zoned. I would have gone reading Twitter. But you get Chris Avellone up there, and it's like, shit, he's really passionate about this. And he's pointing stuff out, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. So I know you didn't ask me, but to compare and contrast, I think the best trailer I saw this show was Last of Us. I think everything about that trailer, I mean, the cutscene in the church or the dance or the barn, it was a church, I think, was cool. I mean, the girls kissing actually was more stunning because of the facial animation. But then they cut to gameplay. It looks freaking fun. And yet, I think I liked Cornelia Gephardt's presentation of Sea of Solitude better because she's up there almost crying, talking about how she, you know, she was, you know, depressed once, and they gave her the idea for a game, and it made me like really get into what I was watching on screen because she was so passionate. So I think that, you know, Microsoft tried to capture that passion, and succeeded. I think, you know, Sony didn't, and I think there's a formula. Formula is most people are going to like your games, but a few won't. Get somebody up there to convince them they're wrong and your game's awesome. So Microsoft did that. And so A+. I mean, I honestly didn't see anything in that press conference that I wasn't just smiling, happy to see, you know, excited about. And, you know, again, we have all the Walmart Canada leaks and we get all the, there's no surprises anymore. But you know, people were asking me coming in, like, what do you expect from Microsoft? I'm like, well, Halo's every 3 years, so Halo's coming this year. And the attitude was kind of like, well, no, it didn't leak out, so it's not possible. You know, and how about Gears? I'm like, well, Gears comes every 3 years, so it's next year. You know, good for them for announcing both. Like, I think that's really cool. So I'm impressed that they kept them secret, even though they really didn't need to be because they are on a three-year cycle. And, you know, I'll tell you now, Halo's coming again in 2021. But, you know, they handle it really well. The opening trailer, you know, I didn't even know what I was looking at. Rhinoceri running through the savannah or something. I'm not sure what I was looking at. Mm. I didn't know what that was. Did you know that was Halo?
No, the music, I was like, man, this music sounds familiar, but
the guy next to me goes, this is Halo music. And I'm like, yeah, but that's like on Earth, and that's like rhinoceri. Is it rhinoceri? I don't even know.
Rhinos.
It's rhinos. Yeah, so I like, you know, and again, it just, but it was, and it was really cool. And again, what I love about games in general, in all games, but there's just these iconic things, you know. So you see like Master Chief's helmet, and you're just, everybody's like, ooh.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah,
but we know. I mean, I love that. I love that you could just see one little stupid thing and you're like, ooh. Yeah.
Well,
it was a good press conference.
One thing that I was very surprised that they didn't really talk about it that much, but it was like a teaser of their next console.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I was very surprised that now they're talking about it now in 2018, and I think it's called, the rumor is it's called the Xbox Scarlet.
Scarlet is the code word.
The project name, whatever. So I think that they're probably going to do the move. They're going to make this move, like, reminding me of like the original Xbox when they stopped production from the old hardware and released the 360 before the next PlayStation. So I think they're probably going to do the same thing with this and release it maybe 2020 and maybe PlayStation 2021. Do you think that's something that is possible? Because why tease it now in 2018?
I think both are possible and probably likely. I spoke to both companies, and Microsoft's was like, yes, not a tease. Yes, we have new hardware coming. So, and they thought that was a very clear message that yes, there's, and it was in response to my question, are you guys okay being second? Like, have you resigned yourself to, you're not catching up and it's okay? And they're like, we are absolutely not okay with being second. We hate being second. We're in this to win. And that's why we teased our next console. I mean, that's how they said it. Mm-hmm. So the timing you just said, you know, Microsoft first, I think that's how they got an advantage with the 360, was being first. And I think, you know, with the Xbox, whatever the original is called, the original Xbox, they were a year behind and kind of immediately overpriced. They came out at $299, and Sony cut the price like 6 months later to $149, or $199, then 6 months later, $149. So they just couldn't compete. And when they went first, they could. Now, Sony, I talked to them about the same thing, and they were like, we have nothing to say about new hardware. this is a really successful console cycle for us. We're making a ton of money. And they actually said their goal is to sell 150 million PS4s. So they're at 79 at the last, you know, press release, whatever, every months ago that was. They're probably at 80, 85. So they've got 65 million left. And if you do the math with a price cut, 20 million max per year. So they're basically saying 18, 19, and 20, forget it. You're not seeing anything from us. So that kind of leads me to that.
And if you really think about it, they don't need to. They're still selling like hotcakes as if it was day one. So, and they've got the catalog to support ongoing sales. And I know there was one thing that Danny had brought up a couple of days ago was, he wouldn't be surprised if maybe Microsoft launches the new hardware with the new Halo, because it's been a long time since they've actually had a new launch console with the launch to coincide with the launch of a Halo. And that would be pretty huge. I think that would be a monster seller.
But that takes us then into 2021. They're not going to get the new console out in 18.
No, so, no. That's why he was saying 20 to 21.
I don't know if they'll have a Halo by then. I don't know the answer. I don't really know. I mean,
here's why I think that's happening, because that was a teaser. There was no date. There was a date for Gears. So Gears is 2019.
Right.
So this is 2 years in a row that hasn't been no Halo, no Gears of War. during the holidays. So I think released Gears 2019 and then start teasing, showing the trailer of the next Halo.
That could happen.
So I think the timing is right and it makes sense, you know. So, but the thing is, I think the console should have all these features from the Xbox One Game Pass. You could play your old games of all generations of Xbox. And that's the mistake that Sony did for this generation is you can't really play, unless you play PlayStation Now, you could play your like the older games.
Yeah,
you know?
So the problem was that backward compatibility is really expensive and it just required, you know, $50 or $60 of hardware that they just didn't want to put in.
Closer to Mike, I think.
With the various streaming proposals,
yeah,
everybody can do back catalog. So PlayStation Now does it for sure. Mm. So the question is just like, and this is something I think Microsoft's thinking about seriously, a streaming service that's free. So the service is free. You don't have to sign up. You can just have it. There's nothing, but there's no content. Mm-hmm. And if you want content, you know, if you're an Xbox Live member, then you get like Games with Gold and they'll stream. You know, that it doesn't matter. And if you're, if you just want to buy a game, they'll sell it to you and stream it. I mean, they can do that. And Microsoft absolutely can do it. Sony is doing it now with PlayStation Now. So I think Sony probably needs to rethink PlayStation Now as a subscription and maybe think about it more as just a way to access games. Because if you want to play like the original Crash Bandicoot the way it looked, mm-hmm. why not? Right. You know, if you're willing to pay $10 for that, hey, I'd like to buy that game for $10. Why not? Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to get different models where those things turn into iTunes and you can do what you want. And if you want to subscribe, that's like Apple Music and you can listen to everything on the service. So, yes, I think Game Pass absolutely survives. Microsoft's goal with that is not the same as like, it's not a Netflix. Game Pass is intended to give you all their first party and then a lot of windowed stuff, like 2 and 3 and 4 year old stuff. So you saw the announcements, Fallout 4, you know, and Division 1. Why? Because Fallout 76 is coming in November, and Division 2 is coming in February or what, March? I don't know.
Yeah, March, March 15th. Yeah.
So those companies, Bethesda and Ubisoft, are like, hey, let's hook you into the old game, and then it's a natural progression. Every time you boot up the old game, they can probably pitch you the new game. You know, I'm a little surprised we didn't see Red Dead Redemption 1 on there. You know, because I doubt anybody's really buying a 2010 game, maybe. But anyway, I think you're going to get more and more like that in Game Pass. And they think if you sign up, you're going to try, you know, instead of playing 5 games a year, you'll play 7 or 8 just because they're there. And it's like me. I would never buy the Elder Scrolls. I hate sword fighting games, but I would try it.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe it would turn out sword fighting doesn't matter at all. And, you know, I can use a bow and arrow. I mean, maybe I'd learn that, ooh, this is better. Mm-hmm. Like, I look at Ghost of Tsushima. I will never buy that game.
Yeah, it's not for everyone. I think there is a crowd for that, though. Yeah,
I would totally try it. But I would spend
$10 as an entry pass.
Yeah.
For $10 as an entry pass to get into something like that. Absolutely. Yeah. Because that lets you know, okay, is it worth my $60 or, you know, do I just pay it for $10 and have a nice day?
And honestly, you know, you can look at game review scores and you know if a game gets above an 80 and you try it, you're going to like it. You know, I mean, and it's just that life's too short for me to buy a lot of $60 games and I would absolutely try. I'd try a dozen or 20, you know, games a year if I had that. So I think that they're really just trying to help each publisher, developer expand their market and be, you know, introduced to customers who otherwise wouldn't buy their games. And you find that you like these things, then you go, wow, I'm buying the next one. That's awesome.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Want to be inside your favorite crime show or podcast and solve the murder like a real detective? Hunt a Killer lets you do just that. It's an interactive investigation delivered right to your doorstep each month. Hunt a Killer delivers clues, correspondence, and other physical items that put you into the serial killer's mind. Decode and investigate to unravel the case. It's like you're living in your favorite true crime series. I'm a member, and it really does put you into the action. It's not like anything you've ever done. Trust me. I've actually seen this like featured in BuzzFeed and Washington Post and stuff like that. And here's something else cool. Hunt a Killer has partnered with the Cold Case Foundation. Part of your monthly membership will go towards helping police departments catch real killers and close cold cases. Join myself, tens of thousands of others, by signing up for a Hunt a Killer membership at www.huntakiller.com. And if investigating isn't your thing, you might know someone who would love this as a gift. So help support the show. They've even offered a 10% discount on the first month for our listeners, but it's only available for a limited time. So go now to huntakiller.com and use the code GTR to get 10% off your first month. Huntakiller.com. Can you solve the case?
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
You know what's crazy? Last year, Pete had a meeting with Epic Games, and that was the first time you got to watch and Fortnite. It was in a little meeting room, you know, no big buzz, you know. A year later, they had one of the biggest game right now everywhere. Now it's available on all consoles, even mobile devices. They had a party at the Coliseum. They had an event also there, Pro-Am event. They're making a huge buzz, you know, so... Your thoughts about Fortnite, man, the success in just less than a year, it's insane.
You know, Fortnite, it is like when McDonald's expanded their menu and added Chicken McNuggets. So
yeah,
when McDonald's did that, and I'm sure it was like the 70s, there were some parents out there who didn't let their kids eat beef or thought fried beef was unhealthy and fried chicken's okay, but they expanded the market. And they brought in people to the fast food, you know, habit that didn't eat burgers, and they gave them something else. And that meant, you know, if you had the, you know, by the way, you have kids?
No, he has kids.
Yeah. So every kid decides that they won't eat beef when they actually learn how cows are processed and all how they treat them. So you'll get a kid who's like, oh, no, I only eat chicken, or I'm a vegan. And so those families started going to McDonald's, and suddenly Carl's and Wendy's and Burger King lost market share. So what did Carl's and Wendy's and Burger King do? They added chicken nuggets. Mm-hmm. And some of them said, no, chicken nuggets. That's like just a bunch of pieces of chicken, you know, put together like a patty and then wrapped in bread and fried. No, we're going to have chicken tenders. Yeah. Breast meat. And ours is better. And so, and then, you know, several years later, McDonald's added chicken tenders. And honestly, I think Chicken McNuggets is the reason Chick-fil-A even exists. It's like somebody went, oh, shit, let's have a restaurant that has chicken. So, you know, not KFC. I mean, like a chicken, you know, chicken fast food. Yeah. So the point is that the market expanded at the end of the day, because now every burger place sells some form of chicken. Mm-hmm. So more people go. So the market's bigger. And the first mover is the guy who got all the market share until everybody copied him. And then when some people improved upon that idea, they got a little more market share. Mm-hmm. So Fortnite is a symptom of the gamer's desire for new gameplay modes. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is that the non-gamer discovered it and likes it. I mean, what I hear more anecdotally is every girl, my daughters are 18, all their friends play Fortnite, their girlfriends.
Wow.
It's like they just play it. And I ask them why, and they go, I don't know, it's harmless, it's stupid, it's fun. You know, I'm like, you ever win? They go, you know, all of them, like, I won once. You know, how many kills? One. I go, oh, so like you hid really well. Yeah, no, yeah. I know. But it's like, that's fine. But that's the cool thing about the game, right? Mm-hmm. Not, you know, obviously that person's not going to be the Pro-Am champion. Mm-hmm. But if you, you know, that's, so if you're bad and you're slow, you know, find a place to hide, make a structure that works, mm-hmm. like whatever. That's cool. And the thing I also like about it is, you know, I know all these like 12-year-old boys who think they're going to be pro Fortnite players, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, God, put this kid in a match with Ninja. And it's like us trying to return Serena Williams serve, you know? It's like, we wouldn't even see the ball, you know? So, mm-hmm. So I love that people, it's so approachable. I personally hate the game. I freaking can't stand building anything. To me, and I can't. No, you know, I always watch Ninja's videos, and it's like watching him run, shoot, and build at the same time. I'm like, how do you do that?
Yeah,
like there are more keystrokes involved in building than you got hands. Like, I don't get this. And he's like, I watch the structure under his feet materializing because he's that good. Yeah. So. You know, but for me, that's really hard, but it's approachable. Everybody can get in there. Everybody can have some success. There's going to be, you know, the meme coming into E3 was everybody's going to have battle royales. We're going to have Candy Crush battle royale, you know. And the truth is, so far, you know, Activision announced it with Call of Duty. EA announced it with Battlefield. And I talked to Activision about this, and something that surprised me, and this probably isn't like out yet. I mean, they told me, and they told me in front of 30 people, so it's public. But they were like, yeah, well, the difference with us is we're using ARM apps, and we're going to have, you know, level progression. Well, level progression is cool because, like, if you go into a Fortnite match random right now, and Ninja just happens to be in there, you're not winning. Like, in fact, you're not surviving more than about 15 seconds. And, you know, if it's level progression, it's like, oh, matchmaking. Oh, I'm going to be in there with, you know, all level 12 dweebs, and you can play with all level 40 guys, and that's more fun and more competitive. Okay. So they said that, and then they go, all our weapons, all our vehicles, all our maps. Well, it's hardcore battle royale. And we can argue about PUBG. I mean, like, PUBG's mid-core. You know, PUBG's right in between cartoony stupid and kind of hardcore. But I think that's interesting. We'll see what happens. Girls aren't going to play that, and I don't mean that sincerely. I mean, there are plenty of girls who play Call of Duty.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not going to be my daughter's friends who've never played a video game. They're not going to go, oh, yeah, I'm getting a console and I'm playing Call of Duty battle royale. Mm-hmm. But I think that's chicken strips. They're taking it to the next level. So yeah. I can't wait. Everybody's going to do that. We're going to have unlimited choice in Battle Royale, and I think that is great for gaming.
What are your thoughts about Cyberpunk? And the reason why I'm bringing this up, have you seen it yet or no?
I have, yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. We watched it yesterday for the first time. To me, it was one of the best presentations I've seen at E3 since I've been coming over here. And I mentioned to the guys this a couple weeks ago. I was like, look, the game doesn't have a publisher. CD Projekt Red want to create a buzz. And by creating a buzz, it's showing this trailer behind closed doors, have all these awards. The media is talking about it. Everybody's talking about it right now on the show. And I know probably behind the scenes, they've been probably pitching the game to like different publishers. And they just finding the right publisher that has like the right money for them to go, you know what? For North America, I mean. So who do you think they will go back to Warner Brothers or because of the success of what The Witcher? Or maybe we might see a new publisher for this game. What are your thoughts about that?
I mean, do you think it matters?
No, it's no matter, but it's just because some people say no, they've been successful, they might do it themselves. But
well,
they could,
but I mean, the last real game I remember being published, self-published, was like a Valve game. Was like, I think they did Portal 2 by themselves, but it's hard. It's just so easy to use somebody who's got the distribution. You're talking about 5% of sales, you know, distribution fee. So it's like, the CD Projekt Red guys don't have distribution built out in the U.S. So they're going to have to, I mean, they can try it, but it's just too much work. They need a publisher. And it could be anybody. I forgot the game that Sony showed, but it's published by Activision. You know, and did you see it was in the Sony press conference.
Can't remember. You remember that?
I think it was a Japanese developer, but it was, you know, I didn't even know. I saw Activision's name. I went, you know, wow. But that's just because Activision, they have to pick somebody. So Warner Brothers is as good as anybody. I mean, they could use guys like THQ Nordic if they want, you know, but I mean, I don't think it makes any difference at all. Okay. You'll find the game and you will get advertised to, and it'll sell great.
I'm curious, now that we're speaking about Cyberpunk, what's your opinion on it? I know you've got your opinions on, you know, like the Fortnites and things like that, but Cyberpunk is probably the darling, if you go by the numbers, it's the darling of 2018's E3. What's your opinion on it?
You know, it's not a new idea to do a deep future, you know, deep in the future dystopian world. game, but mm-hmm. these guys are so good. I think that's why it's getting the buzz. Because I think you could have, you know, every publisher could announce we're doing a dystopian world with people, you know. I mean, essentially, that's what Fallout is. It's just that this one's different. And these guys are so good. And they tell good stories. And they have good characters. And they have great game mechanics. But I, you know, I, other than saying I respect them and I know they're going to make a good game, what am I going to add? Like, I don't know. I don't know what people want. People like different. You know, and sometimes different works, like if you take Call of Duty and you go back and do Black Ops, that works. And sometimes it doesn't. You know, so you take, you know, Infinite Warfare and you go too far in the future in space and people don't like it. Cyberpunk seems like it resonates. The buzz here tells you that the gaming community likes that. They want that. And again, not everybody can pull that off. You know, if it was just some blah, bland developer that never, if it was the guys who made Mafia, I don't think people would be going, oh, I can't wait for Cyberpunk, because they made a bad game and nobody cares.
Right.
You know, so if it was Valve, I think people would be psyched, you know, but if it was Epic, you wouldn't be psyched. You saw Fortnite, not Battle Royale, right? It wasn't a very good game. So I think these guys are getting it because of The Witcher, because people just think they are. I mean, they're three great games in, and they're all great, and everybody knows that they're great.
Now, Anthem, I know they announced that, EA announced that the game is coming out February, I believe, right?
25th or 22nd, yes. I can't remember which one. But
here's the thing, like, I feel that, I think the game is not ready, man. I don't see that game coming out in February. It might get delayed and stuff, in my opinion. What do you think of the game? And also, what do you think of EA's press conference? I think it was just...
It's not going to get delayed because it's not ready. It may get delayed if Battlefield is huge. So EA guided this year to earnings. And if Battlefield sells about 15 million units, then they need zero Anthem. If Battlefield sells 10 million units, they have to launch Anthem. So if Battlefield comes out and just crushes it... Mm-hmm. I could see them pushing Anthem to April 15th or something. And something nobody really knew until this week. I've lost count, but there are either, you know, 7 or 8 big games between January 20th and March 20th. You know, literally there's a game a week for 8 weeks. And in prior years, man, I can't remember more than 2, you know, big ones. And sometimes they're big ones that we don't know are big ones, like Watch Dogs or something, you know, that we didn't expect it to be as big as it was. So, you know, I wouldn't even call like For Honor a big game. That was in that launch window. So, you know, The Division is going to be freaking huge.
Yes.
And Anthem's going to be huge. And, you know, do they want to get out of the way? Maybe. So, but I don't think it's not ready. I'm not sure what the game is. Like, I really like Casey Hudson. He really thinks it's great, and I respect his judgment, and I think he's not BSing. You know, I think it's kind of like they looked at Destiny and said, we're going to make a game like that, but we're going to fix the stuff that doesn't work and add things that we think will work. And so Destiny with jetpacks, I mean, that's cool. So I think it's going to do great. But again, I think gamers are just hard to please. You know, let's see.
Well, that's the connotation we've, I guess, had. It's like a Destiny meets Titanfall clone,
yeah,
in a sense. Have you actually had a chance to either get hands on or see the guided demo?
I saw the demo. I haven't played it.
Okay, because it's funny. The people that have actually seen it or experienced it firsthand have a way different opinion than those that haven't had a chance to see it, and I'm just curious.
I mean, I think it looks great, but, you know, I'm not a Destiny player. Like,
so it doesn't fit your...
Well, I don't like boss fights. I don't like 10 of us getting together to take down a boss. It bores the shit out of me.
So no space magic, no robots, and no swords. What is in the wheelhouse?
I'm okay. Like, Titanfall I liked.
Right.
Yeah, I like the whole Titan thing. I like following my Titan, like jumping in. Like, I think that's really fun. Like, I think that's just a really clever. And I liked Mech Warrior, you know. Like, I mean, I like those kinds of games.
Right.
But Destiny, I just don't like the whole collaborative thing. Like, it's just, it feels like you, if you don't come back every day, you're going to fall behind. And I don't like the, I mean, again, it's just, it was a conscious decision on their part, but I don't like, oh, you can't get past, you know, level 28 unless you get this certain token. And there's only, you know, one token every time you have a boss fight. Mm-hmm. You got to do the boss fight 30 times before you get the freaking token. Like that bores the shit out of me. And it's, you know, you can't buy it. And and by the way, that's me, man, if I could just avoid 30 boss fights and just buy the freaking token, I would just say, please move on. Yeah.
Or you're like me. Yeah.
Well, right. It's not that I think I'm buying my way to victory. It's just, I hate the grind out things. Like, I hate it. I just don't want to do it.
You know what it is?
That's why I really hated Destiny.
That's for the hardcore, man. You know, it's like...
They like grinding it out.
They love grind. Yeah, Paris loves Destiny. Like, that. He loves that, you know? But me, I'm more of like the casual grinder. Like, once in a while, I'll do that, but...
I would do it if it would help me level up. But it's a token thing. It's like, oh, if you don't win this gem, find this gem or this, you know, this artifact or whatever, mm-hmm. you can't advance. I'm like, bullshit. Like, no.
Nintendo. I haven't watched the Direct. Nintendo. Yeah, the trailers and all that. I know a couple of things though. But what are your thoughts about Nintendo? Today, actually, my first time. I'm gonna go to their booth and check out like their games and stuff.
I'm doing it too.
Yeah.
It's a shame because, you know, I think that they clearly didn't plan for Iwata passing away, and, you know, the timing of his illness and death kind of screwed up two or three E3s. I mean, he got sick and canceled like right before one, and then he died, you know, the next year, and then they replaced him with the 65-year-old at the time, Kimishima, mm-hmm. who's camera shy and, you know, didn't want to get on, and that guy, you know, didn't ever appear before anybody, and then he retired May 28th, and so there's a new guy. I can't remember, Furukawa, something like that. Mm-hmm. Starts with an F. Mm-hmm. There's a new guy, and I don't even know if he's here. I mean, he might be here. I didn't see him.
Nobody recognizes him.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that I think Iwata was a super strong, visionary, kind of a leader, decisive leader, mm-hmm. and under his, you know, management, they had some of the best press conferences and reveals and fun, and we love seeing Miyamoto on stage. And I think when Iwata got sick, that just went away, mm-hmm. and there is no strong leader stepping in and saying, we should exploit this opportunity and showcase our stuff. Because honestly, their lineup, you know, last year and this year is fine. It's like, you know, Zelda and Mario and Splatoon and Smash Brothers. Those are great games, but there's no buzz at all about them here. Zero. And I think it's because they're just, you know, invisible. So I think they just, you know, they are blowing it, not taking advantage of E3 as a giant showcase. It's fine to have a floor presence, but the only people who see that are people who walk by and make it a point to go to their booth. Get on, you know, do an E3 press conference and 5 million, I mean, Phil Rosenberg told me they had 4.5 million concurrent views of the PlayStation press conference.
Wow.
So you want to impress 5,000 people who go to your booth? 4.5 million. And by the way, Sony was 4.5 million. Nintendo would have been 10.
Yeah.
You know, so like, do it. I mean, again, I get it. You know, Kimishima was like, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm an old guy and I don't care. Mm-hmm. New guy. Oh, I just got here a week ago. I get it. I hope they get their act together for next year. Yeah. So games are fine. I'd say, you know, the cadence of launch titles has been great with the Switch so far. Mm-hmm. We have a lull next year. I mean, you get a Pokemon title late in the year, but as of now, it looks like nothing after Smash Brothers.
Yeah, now more companies are going with we're gonna wrap it up soon. But more companies are now doing their own video direct thing or doing press conferences somewhere else. Like Microsoft, you know, they have now their own venue and stuff there. Now, last year, I remember we were having a conversation. You said, I didn't like PlayStation's press conference at all last year because it was just videos. We went this year, we went to this first tent and we were standing there for I don't know how long, and then
death standing.
Basically. So then the trailer finished. Okay, everybody, go to the next tent. I'm like, are they gonna do this like four times? Like, I don't know what was going on. We sat down and then they show more trailers. It felt weird and awkward. I know you asked, so you were there. We went together to the PlayStation press conference. What are your thoughts about that setup? That was kind of weird.
I think that they were trying to do something new and different and fun, and I think they failed. So, I hate to dismiss the effort because they really thought, oh gosh, if we get you in this church setting, it's experience. Like that's where, yeah, it's a cool experience. But I was looking around waiting for zombies to rush in. You know, I really was, and I thought we were going to die. And so I never pulled my phone out because I'm like, if zombies rush in, and I don't want to drop my phone in this crowd of people. So like, it's the first press conference I haven't live tweeted from in years. And then I thought the walk through the Japanese garden bridge, mm-hmm. whatever, was stupid, but I get what they're trying to do. Then we sat down and we had a series of trailers and no presenters. Like I said, I think Microsoft won because they got these passionate developers up there. EA, whatever you thought of their press conference, they did the same thing. I think that's an effective technique. Sony, to their credit, tried to do it different. I think they failed. And I think the people in the room were miserable. Everybody was like, why are we standing? This is stupid. Bethesda learned from that. You know, we stood last year. We didn't stand this year. And, you know, they had people on stage. They had So the formula, there's a reason why these formulas are repeated again and again and again, because they work. So why are we changing it? So I think Sony totally blew it.
Yeah, you can't knock them for at least trying. They're going to learn.
Right. Yeah, I'm not angry at them at all. Yeah. Like, no, because I understood they were trying to win us over. It was cool, but it just didn't work. Work for me. So and remember, I'm old. You know, I tire easily.
So I want to go back to the Microsoft press conference. One of the things that really caught me off guard and was not expecting it was, aside from the announcement of the new studio, was it the Initiative?
That's the new one that they said they bought it, but that's new.
Right. But it wasn't just them. They went through a smatter, a handful of them. And then
Ninja Theory was big.
That's what I wanted to talk about. Ninja Theory, what was your thought on that?
Yeah, the other guys, the other guys are absolutely good studios. But the guy who makes Forza, buying him, not a shocker. The guy who makes State of Decay, buying him, that's like Sony buying Naughty Dog. It's like, okay, of course you're going to buy them. I mean, I'm surprised Sony hasn't bought Insomniac yet. But, of course you're going to buy the guys who make your games. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the name of the guys. We Happy Few. What's the name of that studio?
Oh,
starts with a C.
My God, what's the name? I can't remember.
Not Campground, but something like that.
I can't remember on top of the head right now.
No, it's like a word.
Yeah.
Anyway, but those guys, I don't know if they've ever made a game. I've seen We Happy Few demoed. A compulsion. Mm-hmm. I've seen We Happy Few demoed twice now. Looks fun. I mean, sure, it'll be great, but it's not exactly like a $60 game. It's not that. Mm-hmm. So that one didn't matter. And then Daryl Gallagher ran Crystal Dynamics and made at least two and maybe three Lara Croft games. He's a really good developer. So I think that's actually cool. And Santa Monica is actually a really smart place because you're surrounded by, Treyarch is right there. Sony Santa Monica is right there. You've got in the Valley, you've got Respawn, you've got Infinity Ward. I mean, there's a lot of really
good offices there too.
Yeah. But developers, you got really good developers all around you. So I actually think that, and I think a lot of developers would love to live in Southern California. So I think that's going to be big. But Ninja Theory is the prize. And again, you can guess what I thought of Heavenly Sword. But it's a good IP and they did a good job. Hellblade was shockingly good. Mm-hmm.
And it looked good too.
Right. And it won like a gajillion games of the year. And they are an indie that turned into a AAA developer. I think that was a massive win for Microsoft. And those guys, I know they're working on something. There's something coming out. Hellblade was a 17 game. Mm-hmm. So, and I think early 17. So they'll have a game by 2020. You know, so yeah, this is good. But this isn't immediate. And these are the guys that probably support the launch
of the next Xbox. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think we wrap it up. We should wrap it up now. No, Pactor, just want to say thanks, man.
Pleasure.
Early morning.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, it was good, man. Great conversation. And yeah, thanks. Any people want to follow you on Twitter?
Oh, yeah, at Michael Pactor. I finally cracked 45,000. It took me, last year I was at 43, and I'd been stuck at 43,000 for like 3 years. So I suddenly, you know what actually has done is Jeff Keighley puts me on that YouTube show. And I add like 300 followers every time I do it. So that's like, cool. Thank you. Yeah. At awesome. Michael Pactor. I have nothing interesting to say, but I'm funny.
Yeah. Thanks. All right. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. My pleasure.
Thanks. Cool.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.